Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
So you've been hearing the latest now wrinkle in the Highland Park shooting story, maybe predictably, maybe not, but there have been lawsuits filed against the gun maker, Smith & Wesson, two gun stores, the man who's been charged in the shooting, and his father, a partner at Michael Holden, or Michael Holden, who is one of the lawyers representing one of the families, is on a phone line to talk to us a little bit about this. Michael, it's John Williams, and you're on WGN. How are you today?
Good morning, John. I'm doing well.
I think one thing that we should make clear is, can you sue a gun manufacturer? I think a lot of us have been under the impression that they are immune from any liability. What's the law on that?
So, John, there is a immunity in place for gun manufacturers that was passed at the federal level. However, one important thing to take note of is that that immunity has an exception for it. An exception in it when a gun manufacturer knowingly violates either state or federal law in the marketing or sale of the gun, which is exactly what we've alleged Smith & Wesson has done and their deceptive and unfair marketing practices in this case.
Do we know that the young man who pulled the trigger on a Smith & Wesson gun saw those ads or was influenced by those ads?
Well, that is certainly things that we will find out during the course of discovery in this case. However, we have information that we believe suggests that the shooter in this case did see those ads, was influenced by those ads, and those ads were a large part in the reason he chose the Smith & Wesson M&P 15. It was his gun of choice in carrying out these horrendous crimes.
Was there something about the ads per se that you feel were illegal? I mean, they do get to advertise, do they not?
They absolutely get to advertise. However, Smith & Wesson has developed an ad campaign, a marketing campaign, that specifically targets young men. And they do this by choosing ads that mimic these first-person shooter video games we see.
Yeah.
They choose methods of ads that certainly are targeted at young men. And these young men are the most impressionable sector of our population to this type of advertising and for this type of product. The reality is that young men between the ages of 16 and 26 are the risk takers in society. They're the ones that will see these messages that guns give them power, internalize them, and go out and buy these types of weapons. And beyond that, Smith & Wesson starts even younger. You can see their ad campaigns, and it's set forth in our complaint and was discussed yesterday at the press conference. They're encouraging even younger than teenagers to use these weapons for play and for sport. And these weapons were developed with one purpose in mind, and that was to kill other human beings. These AR-15-style weapons mimic the military weapons that were developed around Vietnam, whose sole purpose was to create as much carnage as possible in its military application. And the reality is that there is no hunting purpose for these. We don't go out and use these weapons to hunt deer. There is a sporting purpose, but we have to weigh that as a society of what we want to be available to the public. And Smith & Wesson plays on that in their marketing campaign and targets these young men who are the most vulnerable to that type of advertising.
I've heard from hunters who say that they do use these style weapons in their hunting, but you just said, you did not say even if that is the case, you say it's generally not used that way. But I think what you're asking us to do is weigh the opportunity that presents to hunt versus the public safety. It seems to me like that's the crux of this thing.
Right, and these are questions that are a larger picture. These aren't questions that will be answered with this lawsuit. This lawsuit focuses on Smith & Wesson and their actions in marketing these weapons to young men. Unfortunately, mass shootings in the United States are not a new phenomenon. They've been happening for decades, and Smith & Wesson knows they happen. And they have done literally nothing to adjust their marketing to decrease these mass shootings. And when you look at the data, these mass shootings generate additional sales for Smith & Wesson, yeah, which generate additional profits for Smith & Wesson. So they have no financial incentive to make changes to their marketing and advertising.
I'm recollecting, I don't have it in front of me, but after the shooting took place and we were learning a little bit more about the marketing of these guns, and one of the images that's in my mind is like a first person or maybe it's a third person perspective of somebody like on a roof shooting down, pointing a gun at a car or something like that, as though this were a legitimate use of or a recommended use of the weapon. Here's how you can use this gun with this scope and all of that. I don't have it in front of me, but do you know what I'm talking about?
I do, and there are a number of ads Smith & Wesson has released that use this first-person shooter where the image you see is what you would see if you're staring down the barrel of this gun.
That's what it was, yeah, right. And it looked like it was targeting from up high, as this kid was, shooting down on people.
Right, and additionally, Smith & Wesson has worked along with video game creators to incorporate their weapons into these Call of Duty war-type video games. So they even see it, on the screen in front of them. They're interacting with it, which only perpetuates this ad campaign.
Still, it seems to me like it's a pretty high bar. If you want a judge, a jury, or a listener to say, okay, they have a right to exist. They have a right to promote their weapons. They had this image or this ad. You want us to believe that that kid saw that ad, therefore was inspired to get that gun, therefore was inspired to shoot those people, and so the deaths on the streets were Smith & Wesson's fault because how they got in that kid's head. All those things need to directly connect. Is that the logic train we're on?
In some sense, yes. The standard in Illinois, in any case, really, for proximate cause, is that the defendant's conduct was a cause. It doesn't need to be the only cause. It just needs to be one in the chain of causes that led to the result. And here, I think the evidence is overwhelming that Smith & Wesson's marketing practices were a cause to ultimately what happened on July 4th. And the lawsuit also names two gun shops that illegally sold the weapon to the shooter. It names the shooter's father who assisted in procuring the weapon for his son, and it names the shooter. So it identifies all the culpable parties in that chain. But certainly Smith & Wesson is the impetus. Without Smith & Wesson's marketing techniques, there's a good chance that the shooter doesn't choose this weapon.
The shooter's father said that he legally sponsored his son to get the gun.
Right, and that's the shooter's father's position. But the reality is the shooter's father had unique knowledge that should have led him to make different choices.
I think we were all very frustrated, too, by the inability of the state police or the state itself to keep a gun out of this young man's hand. Is there any culpability by Illinois for it seems to me like we do have a law that should have kept him from getting the gun. What's the government's culpability here?
So the focus of our case is on Smith & Wesson, the gun stores, the father, and the son. And with regard to the laws that exist and whether or not those laws could be improved, that's certainly a question for our legislators and our lawmakers. If you ask my personal opinion, yes, we can make changes that make it more difficult for people like the shooter to obtain a weapon. But the remedy for that is a legislative effort, not a lawsuit.
Michael Holden is a partner with Romanucci and Blandin, one of the law firms involved. Are you representing one family, multiple families? Who are your clients in this case, Michael?
Our firm, along with Everytown Legal and Paul Weiss, have collaborated on filing 10 lawsuits naming over 40 individuals. So we have 10 families that we represent in the cases filed thus far.
Is there a dollar amount attached to this civil action?
No, and that's something ultimately for a jury to decide.
Right. You have to declare that it's over a certain threshold, but otherwise it could be zero. It could be many millions of dollars, right?
Correct.
Is there a history for a case like this? Has anybody successfully sued a gun manufacturer or retailer?
So the most recent successful litigation brought against a gun manufacturer was the litigation that came out of the Sandy Hook shootings. That resolved either late last year or earlier this year, putting forward a very similar legal approach that under Connecticut laws, The manufacturer in that case violated Connecticut's laws in advertising, and they were able to get a recovery for the families involved there.
How much was that? Do you recall?
I believe it was $77 million was the global recovery.
Yeah. And that was that against the retailers or the manufacturer?
That was against the manufacturer. I believe it was Remington.
And that Sandy Hook, how many years ago was that? It's amazing how these things grind. What's your timeline on something like this?
So the timeline is a bit fuzzy. Historically speaking, in Lake County, from the time a case is filed until the case goes to trial is about a year, about 18 to 24 months. However, the size and legal challenges involved in this case will certainly likely extend that.
So then a law firm like yours has to take on this case, I guess, finance it for the long run? I mean, how does anybody afford something like this?
Well, unfortunately, with our American justice system, litigation does become expensive. So it is a financial investment for the firms involved, but it's certainly one we're willing to take to represent these clients and hopefully make the change that needs to be made.
Well, is the arrangement such that if you do recover monies, then you get paid, but if you don't recover money, you don't get paid? How does that work?
Typically, in a personal injury case, it is a contingency fee where if we get a percentage of a recovery. I'm unfortunately not at liberty to say what the specific financial agreements are in the Highland Park cases.
And are you optimistic, Michael? I mean, I think you're fighting the good fight here. I hope you bankrupt that gun manufacturer, but I don't know how optimistic anybody should be. What's your thought about that?
Well, we certainly believe we have a strong legal argument. We recognize that the cases are going to be challenging, that we're going to be in for a fight, but it's a fight that we're willing to take on. And it's a fight that we're willing to take to the end, whatever that end result might be. Because much like you, we believe that these lawsuits are a step to a societal change to prevent mass shootings from continuing to happen in the United States.
Really? Because it would seem to me like if you had one key that you could turn, it would be either parental responsibility or mental health. I think mental health is sort of a scapegoat for a lot of ills around society or gun deaths per se, but I just wonder if you're successful here, how does that change the landscape? People will still have guns. People will still use them for crazy reasons, and they'll still be able to get guns.
Right, and I think the lawsuits are one portion of an approach that can be taken. I think holding the gun manufacturers responsible for their actions and exploiting these young men to purchase these military-style weapons and perpetuate the availability of weapons for mass shooting events is certainly one grain of sand, so to say, in a larger conversation.
But if I may, so are you trying to keep young men who are mentally fraught from getting guns, or are you trying to keep AR-15s from being sold in America at all?
So with this lawsuit, we're challenging the marketing and advertising campaigns that are put forth by these manufacturers. And the reality is these are advertising and marketing campaigns target the young men. And these young men, if you look at the statistics, John, these young men are largely the perpetuators of these mass shooting events. And these AR-15 style weapons are usually the weapon of choice. And with Smith and Wesson, if you look at the top 10 mass shooting events in the United States, their weapon was used 40% of the time.
So you're really just trying to stop the marketing of the, which I'm not going to suggest that you be any more ambitious than this, right? Let's bite off what we can chew. So your idea is to limit the marketing of those weapons to young men. That's the path you're going to go down.
And I think that's a step toward where we need to be as a society. We've done this before. If you look at how alcohol or cigarettes are advertised, yeah, there's restrictions in place that prevent them from advertising to people who are most vulnerable. And as it currently exists, there's few restrictions with regard to guns. And gun manufacturers have carte blanche to advertise and market their weapons in the manner that they've been doing thus far. And there can be changes that are made to prevent that type of advertising.
Yeah, right, right. That's just interesting, isn't it, though? I mean, you hear, hey, they're suing those guys, that gun manufacturer, that gun retailer. They'll still be able to sell guns. They'll still be able to make guns. If your suit is successful, that still happens, but the advertising, the promotional material will categorically have to change.
Right, and if we're looking for a change beyond that, that's not something we can do with this lawsuit. That is a question that needs to be answered as a society, and that's done through the people we elect and the laws that those people make.
Michael Holden is a partner with the law firm Romanucci and Blandon, along with a couple of other organizations, representing 10 families, 40 people. Huh? No, you're suing 40 people. 40 different individuals are the targets of these lawsuits. Is that right, Michael?
No, we represent 40 individuals.
40. Okay, got it. Yeah.
Bringing suit against three Smith & Wesson entities, two gun shops, the shooter's father and the shooter himself.
It's nice to talk to you today, Michael. I appreciate your time.
Thanks, John. Take care.